You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 24 May, NVIDIA up 9.4%, closes at $1,037, that after the results after close on Wednesday. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Scott Glove from PSG, Old Oak, Investec and Bidcorp, Andy Pfaff from Coherent Capital Management. They've got a commodity AMC, actively managed a certificate. I want to get a sense of what trends he's seeing and how that works. I mean, is it miners? Is it commodities? We'll chat with them. And thoughts from me and misleading glamour and glitz of FX trading. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Stefanuti Stocks expects a final decision on the 1.6 billion rand Eskom claim in Q3. This relates to the boarding contract at the Khaleesi Power Station. Business Day, Ibrahim Patel calls it a day after 15 years. Time for reflection, Trade and Industry Minister says. Morning markets, the US was red. S&P down 0.75%, NASDAQ almost 0.5% lower. In the East, mostly red. We've got Sydney up a couple of points, but then Tokyo and Hong Kong both off 1.2%, Tencent off 1%. Commodities mixed: gold 2,354, Brent 81.36, PGM slightly green, at platinum 1,029, and palladium 987. Rand 18.49, Bitcoin 67,900, and top 40 opening call 340 points to the down. That is almost 0.5% in the red.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Skulk Lowe from PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning. Investec results. I mean, they're almost the little forgotten bank that could. Really good numbers coming through. You know, interest revenue, non-interest revenue, cost to income coming a little bit lower. Impairments not looking stressed at all. A good set of numbers and a bank that is cheap.
Yeah. No. Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the listeners. Yes, you're right. I mean, looking at it at first glance, revenue up 5%. When you look at the earnings looking good, as you mentioned, I mean, net asset value currently trading at about 564 pence, putting them in the price to book of one time. I mean, that's really, really, really cheap. ROE 14.6, and I'm going to look at this a bit because as I read through this, my first glance yesterday morning, I thought, this is actually not looking too bad. Mm. And naturally, we had the market open originally, but it was fine. And then all hell broke loose. Share price just started falling, free falling in actual fact, close to 5% down yesterday. And, you know, when I looked at this again, so two things happened after the results. We also had, you know, them coming out saying, well, we're going to need to do an impairment. There's a probe. So it looked like Investec was a little bit naughty. So we'll get to the naughtiness, you know, a little bit later. But let's look at this valuation. You know, 14.6% currently compared to the other. I'm not going to include Capitec because we all know that. Yeah. It's just ridiculous in terms of ROEs and price to books. But when you look at APSA 15.3%, First Round 20.6%, NatBank 15.10%, and Standard Bank, you know, close to 19%. So they on an ROE basis, they're much, much, much lower. And when you look at them, price to book, there's quite a few banks trading at these, you know, one-time price to book levels. So I think Mr. Market just, you know, tried to tell us, well, it looked good, but man, you're not really the cheapest bank currently, and ROE wise, you're not growing as quickly as some of the other. Well, you're actually on the lowest ROE side. Let's look at the probe. I think that's I think the most important reason why the share price actually retraced. So the FSCA, they're currently probing into quite a few banks, and just, you know, putting it out there, you know, Investec's not the only naughty South African bank. It seems like they're probing into First Rand as well with a much, much higher, you know, possible payback. So Investec came out and said, well, we'll most probably need to do impairment of about 30 million pounds. And for that's for a little arrangement they call discretionary commission arrangements. Now, what they did, and it was banned, you know, 2021, so it's not been done anymore. But what they've done in the UK, they actually, these dealerships went to these clients buying a car, They sort of offered them a much higher interest rate than they should be paying. Mm. And for that, they're earning a few extra bob, you know, pun intended, extra bob, both the bank and the dealership. And the FCA said, well, this is not good. You guys are going to be liable for some of these paybacks. And it seems like they're going to invest, like, you know, 30 million pounds. When you look at it on the EBITDA basis, you know, 650 million pounds, that's close to 5% of their EBITDA. So that is going to hurt shareholders over the next year if that's going to need to be done. So I would say sweet and sour results. First glance, if you ask me, you know, would I be leaning towards the sweet or sour? Yeah. Definitely sweet. I think it was a good set of results.
Yeah, but I take your point. A cheap bank, but we have a world of cheap banks. I mean, they're all, apart from Capitec, price to books of around one, dividend yields in the high single digits. That's bog standard for banks these days. Bidcorp, the capital markets update, they do these little bolt-ons, which just are so strategically clever. They've seen food inflation come down quite markedly. That should certainly help them. I mean, now suddenly they can, you know, get a bit of pricing power there. This really is a stellar little business. And I say little, and I should probably take that back and say stellar big business.
Yeah, definitely not small anymore. And also one of those companies that I've had a love-hate relationship. You know, love the company, hate the fact that I haven't been a shareholder. but, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's a company that's looking at this trading statement, revenue, you know, up in constant terms, 8.8%. That was good. Remember, that we got the announcement, the trading statement in rand terms, so it showed, you know, 17.8%. So one should know that they had a little bit of a, you know, tailwind, you know, coming from the weaker ZAR. We know that the rand currently is strengthening, so that could impact them, because originally it's very similar. We had the share price, I think it was up 1.5% after the trading statement came out, just boop, just hop, and then eventually turn around at the end of the day negative. And I think it's due to this market realized, well, when you got a stronger rand now, not sure this is going to impact the results, because they do have a lot of foreign currency, you know, earnings. You mentioned the food inflation. That's a good and bad, because naturally their costs will come down, but you know, lower food inflation as a company that sell food might eat into the margins. And they did mention it. They actually mentioned that this, you know, lower core inflation is a bit of a concern. It implies that they might have, you know, a contracting, you know, margin going forward. Just quickly going glancing over the company, I mean, Euro slightly softer, Australasia doing very, very good, but they mentioned the EM in emerging markets and the UK. South Africa, one of their star performers in their portfolio. So well done. I'm looking forward to the actual results. It seems like they were doing really well.
Yeah, this was a 10-month update. And as you say, what do they say? South Africa is delivering an excellent performance despite. And there were the despites, but we were doing an excellent performance, make no mistake. Skoklo, PSG, Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. About the banks. The banks are cheap. All of them are cheap. I mean, they're just, Capitec not, but all the rest. The banks is a sector that you are investing in locally. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Andy Pfaff, CEO of Coherent Capital Management, talking about their Coherent Global Commodity Investment Portfolio. It's an actively managed certificate, AMC. CCMGCZ is the code. Andy, appreciate the time. This AMC, we're talking here commodities. You're not looking at miners. You want the raw commodities in this particular AMC.
Commodities are things made by Mother Nature, not in boardrooms and not in dealing rooms.
And I mean, the thing with commodities, and I was pondering it, and I was, you know, going back over the last, I don't know, little while, and there's always seems to be some commodity that's going to be running. I mean, it was, coffee and cocoa, and then it was orange juice and, you know, copper. There's kind of something, there's always something in the market. We look at gold and PGMs as like the two biggies, but it's a wide remit.
Yes, you know, the three sectors, it's just like equities. You know, equities have got financials and industrials and resources. Mm-hmm. Commodities have got similar sectors. They've got agriculture, energy, and metals. And the drivers are quite different. Agriculture is typically driven by weather. Energy more by politics, if you think about OPEC. And then metals, obviously base metals and precious metals, but they're more driven by economics. So they're quite diverse drivers. And this would lead to that diversification behavior through the different cycles or the different sectors.
And you will, in the same sea, I mean, you will be switching. I mean, are you fairly active in it in the sense that, as I say, you know, we suddenly see one running, and even copper just in the last couple of days has come back. Are you fairly active in finding those moves?
Absolutely. You know, it's really, commodities are quite cyclical. If you look at equities have got quite a Darwinian bullish bias to the indices. There's the strong ones being upweighted, the weak ones being chucked out. So you can go and buy your Satrix tracker or your index tracker and you'll get a bullish bias to it. But commodities are much more cyclical. You know, oil doesn't get thrown out of the basket if it goes to zero like it did 2 years ago. So that would influence the commodity index. Commodity investment is not really something that you can buy and hold it. It's a tracker. It does need management. It does need specifically risk management. And that's really where we come from a strong absolute return background. So we apply a lot of absolute return type risk management protocols to our portfolios. Yes, we can go from, we don't track the basket, we don't track the index. We can go from 0 to 100% exposure. And it varies quite a lot as well. I mean, at the moment, you know, this month, it's mostly been a metals portfolio. We've been 60% long of metals.
I got you then, and this is a long only. You're not taking short positions. You're using, I imagine, various, in some cases, maybe derivative products, but it is a long only portfolio.
Correct. This is the commodity equivalent of a unit trust. The unit trust or the investment scheme instrument definitions are relatively narrow and quite strongly equity biased, and so we can't create a commodity unit trust. That's why we're using an ANZ. Mm-hmm. It's the same strategy as it's long only. There's no gear. Yeah, so it's not a hedge fund. It doesn't trade short side. It doesn't use leverage.
And duration time. I mean, you my sense is probably fairly active. I mean, you make the point that, you know, and you'd sent me a graph in the beginning of the month. You had a lot of exposure. I think it was energy, perhaps. Now it is metals. These do move. You're not, you know, everyone's telling me copper's the best trade for the next 20 years. You're probably looking at that a bit squiffed and said, frankly, you're worried about until Tuesday.
You know, it's the sort of throwaway comments. You know, one is trade what you see, not what you think, because you know you never have all the answers. You never have all the information. So we've got. I think everyone needs subjective. You know, everyone has their own version of how to choose trades, but you need to have an objective method of saying, "Hey, I was wrong. I'm closing the position." And that's what we do. So we've got very strong risk management protocols. And, you know, yes, I agree. Long-term copper is great, but short-term, maybe it's a bit overdone. Mm-hmm. And so if it comes off, even though we're bullish, we will reduce that exposure.
I like that. Trade what you see, not what you think, which implies as well, you're looking a lot at the price action. There's always the story, yes, but the price action is in fact, is the truth that is coming out of the market.
Yeah, you know, price action is what pays us.
And I quickly want to touch on your new AMC, Fuel ZA is the code. This is essentially tracking what diesel or petrol price in South Africa, and could be, I mean, it could be used as a hedge in a sense by industry, but even by individuals. You've got crazy petrol prices.
Absolutely. You know, there are two things. I mean, the first thing there, it's designed to, as a tool for the fuel consumer, to protect them against the rising fuel price. Mm-hmm. But it's also there to democratize the fuel price risk management because it's easily available. It's available on the JSE. It's available in small denominations. You can buy 100 units if you like. Mm-hmm. And it simplifies the administration. You don't have to have all the traditional derivatives, administration, facilities, capacities, and teams. You can just go and buy it in the JSE just like a share. It'll protect you against a rising fuel price.
Yeah, as fuel goes.
It's sort of designed to be heads, I win, tails, I don't lose. You know, it's exposure to rising, but we will risk manage it, so we'll exit it if the fuel price turns down.
Fuel ZA is that one, and the commodity one is CCMGCZ. Andy Pfaff, Coherent Capital Management, appreciate the early morning.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah? Or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Some Friday thoughts from me, the misleading glamour and glitz of FX trading. I was at an FX trade show recently. Truthfully, it was embarrassing. The Lamborghinis and Ferraris parked outside there, the young woman dressed in skimpy tight clothing. It was like a flashback to the 70s and cigarette adverts. It's trying to sell that glamour. It's trying to sell the glitz of FX trading. But truthfully, it just felt sleazy. There are a couple of issues here. I mean, the first challenge is that all the brokers are pretty much the same. They all offer tight spreads, low or zero fees. Although, of course, if they say zero fee, you have to be paying somehow. And if it's zero, it just means they're not disclosing. They've all got fancy and truthfully impressive apps, but they're all pretty much the same. The other problem they have is that FX trading is hard. I've been a trader for 25 years, and I stay well away from FX. It's just it in of itself, Forex is a low volatility. And I'm not looking at the czar. If you're going to trade FX, you only trade the majors: dollar, sterling, euro, yen, and even stay away from the Swiss franc because they pegged their currency once, which is that's EM sort of style, not proper DM currency. But I stay away from it because it's the gearing. That gearing, they are 1,000 times gearing means your $1 is $1,000, which means if you blink and are just a fraction wrong, well, your dollar is absolutely gone and you can scale that to whatever. So because FX is trading, the stark reality is that the vast majority, and when I say vast majority, probably everybody almost, is losing money, which means these brokers are desperately needing new clients all the time. Because the clients come in, deposit their money, lose it, exit the other side, and they need new ones. Hence all the glitz, hence all the glamour, although sleazy glamour and sleazy glitz. But it's trying to catch and pull us in. You're going to lose your money. Don't succumb to the sleaze. If you want to be a trader, there are ways to do it. But don't start at the pointy end. It's like when you start swimming. You don't jump off the pier at Durban into the E. coli full 6-foot waves. You start in the shallow end of the swimming pool. It's the same with trading. Don't fall for the sleaze. That's it for today. I was chatting with Odwa Magwenshu from Thrive South Africa about that pick and pay trading update. Now, in of itself, it was a bit of a horror show, but we'd had the real horror show back in February, so the market kind of had time to digest, and I think the key story there is that Box is doing really well. Of course, they're going to list some of the boxes, essentially selling some of their crown jewels to keep the rest of the business, i.e. Pick and Pay, going. We asked you, does Pick and Pay offer value as a turnaround story? Half of you, almost half, said there's still a long way to go. And that's true. But you know what? Sean Summers is in there. He's rolled up his sleeves making it happen. A third said fair, but perhaps too much risk. And the rest were saying, yeah, great potential. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we'll chat again Monday. Roynet results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.